The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. None of that soft stuff. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. None of that heavy metal stuff. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Just a little bit of jazz. Rock,
and a lot of Neil Young.
What do you think?
Just I like love that. That was great. Thank you.
All right. Welcome to a Thursday. We're rocking out on Thursday because, you know, it's Howie Klein Day, and he's got musical roots in his background. And actually, we're going to talk a bit about music today because Howie on Facebook, actually, he posted it on Facebook, but on downwithtyranny.com, put up a post a couple of days ago on his Facebook page that's headlined, Music Business Deteriorated, not because of musicians, but because of extreme capitalism. We can't escape this stuff. We also can't escape the crazies. And I know it's not polite to call your political opponents crazy. And I didn't always used to think in those terms. I didn't always think that just someone, because someone was a Republican, they were an enemy. But that's where we've arrived. That's where we are. It is so ugly out there. People are so damn rude. I'm kind of over it. I mean, I would be if I could be, but everywhere I turn, I'm hit with something else ridiculous. So today, you know, we learn that Spotify, a company to whom until recently I paid a monthly fee to have a subscription so that anytime I wanted any music that I didn't necessarily have in my library here, I could just pull it up on Spotify. They changed their model about a month or two ago, and the plan that I used to have is no longer available. So now I'm stuck in this, you know, I listen to their commercials after every couple of songs, but that's okay because today I deleted Spotify from my computer, from my phone, from all of my devices. Why, you ask? Well, Neil Young, of whom I'm a huge fan, basically issued an ultimatum. And he said, you know what, Spotify, you can't have both Neil Young and Joe Rogan, so you choose. Now, considering that Spotify pays Joe Rogan somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million for his hate-filled podcast, I'm sorry, nobody is worth $100 million for talking into a microphone a couple hours a day. Something I've done for coming on 40 years. Nobody is worth that kind of money. And I suggest we take a giant step backwards from the obscene amounts of money paid to some people for their perceived worth. Nobody is worth that. I'm sorry, nobody, zero, zilch. So Spotify chose Joe Rogan, so I chose not to go with Spotify. And I deleted them and I tweeted out something to that effect. Cool. Now I'll delete Spotify. The responses, you know, if I see something like that, I see somebody on the right tweet out something that they did in response to something they didn't like, I say either good for them or, you know, I'll channel my inner Joe Biden and say, what a fucking asshole. I use my preferred words. I don't ever call anybody a son of a bitch. Is that what he said? Damn son of a bitch? Yeah. So anyway, but these people think that they must be, you know, owning the libs if they write me back an insult. You know, whether, oh, I'm sure they're going to miss you, or something even better, you know, something insulting about my appearance. Oh, because that cuts so deep that some anonymous incel on the internet thinks I'm old and fat and unattractive. Oh, God, you really got me. When did we become such a rude, rude people? Again, I blame this, not every bit of it, but the overall attitude. The shit rises to the top. In this case, it's Donald Trump. He is the rudest, most uncouth, sorry excuse for a human being. And this is their spiritual and moral leader. That's really sad. So I'm trying to keep myself in that frame of mind rather than let it get to me. I don't let the inane comments get to me. As I said, hitting the block button is free. And it's somehow rewarding. So I do that quite a bit. But really, I got a couple of things. Today happens to be Holocaust Remembrance Day. And it comes as we learn that there's this school district in Tennessee who banned a book that, frankly, I had never heard of before. But it's called Mouse, spelled M-A-U-S. And it's actually a graphic novel aimed at kids, and it teaches them about the Holocaust. And in this graphic novel, the Jews were portrayed by mice, and the Nazis were cats. And it's a graphic novel, and I've heard it won a Pulitzer Prize because it was so brilliantly written, and it explained a very ugly concept, a moment in history that we can never forget, to children in a way they'd understand. And yet this school board in Tennessee banned it because, not because of the atrocities of the Holocaust. No, apparently there were some bad words in it, like damn. Damn! And a naked woman. There's a picture, a drawing, because it's a graphic novel, of a naked woman. That's what they found offensive in a book about the Holocaust. It is just astounding. So, you know, I went looking for it. And sure enough, there is, the book is still in print. And I have a page set up. I'll put a link on the blog at NicoleSandler.com. Today it'll be at /1-27-22, today's date. And I'll put a link on it. It's like $15 for the book. And you can support this Pulitzer Prize winning author, who actually is still alive. He was on some on CNN this morning. For some reason, I'll criticize anybody. During the interview, he's smoking a vape pen, and then he had to take a bite out of something. Really, dude? You couldn't wait till after the interview to smoke and have breakfast? Just saying. You know, little things bug me, especially when I'm in a pissy mood, as I've been this week. But, Mouse, I will now be reading. I'm going to buy that book, and I'm going to read it. And I hope you share it with your children. But it made me, today is Holocaust Remembrance Day. And since people like Marge Q. Green and, her colleagues over there in the MAGA caucus think that this kind of stuff is funny, that think that it's okay to liken vaccine mandates to the Holocaust. And it's not only them. After all, it's Bobby Kennedy Jr. too. Is astounding, completely astounding. But I want to play for you this video that I just saw for the first time. Now, I guess this has been around a while because I believe this video is from a BBC broadcast from Holocaust Remembrance Day from, I want to say, 1988 or thereabouts. But oh my goodness, I hope you're watching on video, but if you're not, if you're one of the people listening to an audio stream like on Progressive Voices or my audio podcast or one of the other online stations that carries the show Air Progressive or Netroots Radio or any of the others, when there's something you need to know, I'll break in my golf announcer voice and explain what's going on. And I will post the video on the blog as well at NicoleSandler.com/1-27-22, so you can watch it later, because you really need to see this. But, you know, it's still good even just hearing it. So it is the BBC. And, well, let's go to the videotape.
If they hadn't been rescued and brought over to England, these children would have been killed by the Nazis. But in fact, they were saved by an English stockbroker called Nicholas Winton. In all, Nicholas Winton and the committees who helped him managed to save 664 children.
664
this
children.
This is his scrapbook. There are all kinds of fascinating pictures in it. But back here, you will see, is the list of all the children and the foster families who took them in.
Wow.
This is Vera Diamant when she was 10. Now she's Vera Gissing. Until we told her this week, she had no idea that Nicholas Winton had in fact arranged her rescue. But we did find her name, Vera Diamant, as she was then, on his list.
Okay.
Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton.
Whoa. Whoa. He saved her all those years ago. Wow. And she leans over and gives him a kiss. And he's wiping the tears away from his eyes. Talk about a goosebump-inducing moment. But wait, there's more. She said, thank you. Oh, my God.
We asked as many as possible of these grown-up children to get in touch with us so they'd have the chance to thank Mr. Winton personally. Can I ask, is there anyone in our audience tonight who owes their life to Nicholas Winton? If so, could you stand up, please?
And there's a shot of the auditorium, and every single person is standing. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You'll have the chance to meet these people properly after the program. In the meantime, Mr. Winton, on behalf of all of them, thank you very much indeed.
Wow. Wow. Now that... All right. Yeah. And again, he's wiping the tears from his eyes. And Carolyn Good in the chat room says, oh my God, I'm wiping tears. See, that's what it's about. And I don't know. Well, you know, let me take that. I was going to say, I don't know that that kind of heroism exists today. I believe it does. Only with some people. With others, you know, like the Sarah Palins of the world, she's willing to, you know, infect anyone and everyone who might get in her general vicinity. Because in this case, this man, Mr. Winton, who, by the way, passed away in the past year, sadly, saved the lives of all those people and then some. He put his own well-being on the line to do that. And today we have just, and it's not unique to the Republicans, although I would say more Republicans than Democrats, certainly progressive Democrats are like this, more Republicans than progressive Democrats would, you know, watch you get hurt, but they don't want to get involved. Or they'll liken something that may be an inconvenience to them, but is designed in the public interest and to protect as many human beings as possible, they'll liken that to the Nazis and the Holocaust because they don't understand what it is. So let me suggest that they buy the book Mouse. And I have a lovely link I can share with you where you can purchase it. It's just, it's disgusting. By the way, this is, just so you can see it, if I'm able to put it up. You know what? I was going to put up the book cover. You know what? I will very briefly because here you go. This is what the book cover looks like. It's a mouse and you see the cats and that's it. And it won a Pulitzer Prize. And a school board in Tennessee says, no, your children can't read this because somewhere in the text it uses the word damn. And in this graphic novel about the Holocaust, there's a drawing of a naked woman who's probably a mouse because all the characters are cats and mice. I just don't get it. Bob Johnson says, Neil Young gets classier every day, but that's just an opinion from an old man. I agree with you. And it was an opinion from an old lady. You know, things are getting more and more out of hand. So today, you know, here I am stuck in Florida. And believe me, it gets more and more difficult to live here with each passing day. The problem is, I don't know where we could go where the crazy is not quite so thick, because it's everywhere. And then plus I'm dealing with a weather wimp of a husband who won't go where it's cold. And it's going to get down in the 30s here this weekend, like 38. But that's still the 30s. In Florida, we're not used to that kind of stuff. So anyway, Ron DeSantis, it's every day it's something new with this guy. The latest today is he said he's not in favor of legalizing recreational marijuana. You know why? Because he doesn't like the way it smells. Hey, moron, it's not all about you. What about the millions of your constituents who might want to indulge? I don't drink alcohol. I don't like the taste of it. I never have. But I'll tell you something. After a day like this, when I'm all wound up and I'm stressed out and I'm angry and pissed off and on the verge of tears, a hit or two off a joint will chill me out a little bit, will relax me, will make me feel better. It's what you might, you know, mix a martini for. But smoking a couple of hits off a joint is never going to make me angry or violent. Where you keep getting drunk, we've seen the results of that. You know, the hypocrisy, the it's okay if you're a Republican. I'm just so sick of it. So yesterday, I started telling you about this Surgeon General nominee, Joseph Latipo. I got to go back to him because we got busy and then the phone rang and then the guest came in and I didn't have time to continue playing. I did play you his non-response when he was asked five times by Lauren Book, who's the leader of the Senate Democrats in Florida, whether or not the COVID vaccine is safe and effective. And in case you missed it, let me just share it with you again, this bit of brilliance from this man who Ron DeSantis hired to be the next Surgeon General of the state of Florida. He's a vaccine and mask denier who has apparently lied about his experience fighting COVID at UCLA, because his colleagues there said they never saw him in the COVID ward. They know he worked there, but he was in a different department. He didn't treat COVID patients. And they are angry that he is using UCLA on his resume when he never treated COVID patients there. That's this guy. All right, this is State Senator Lauren Book.
That vaccines in fighting against a pandemic like COVID-19 are effective.
You reckon this?
Yeah. Thank you for your question, Senator. So, again, I would say that...
Listen to how articulate he is.
The question is a scientific one, and it's one that is answered with data. So, the question is informed by data on, you know, on specific outcomes.
What?
And specific therapies. So that's the scientific question.
The what?
Just a couple more follow-ups. Just a yes or no. Do vaccines work in fighting against COVID-19?
It's the
yes
second time. Or no? Second time she asked.
You recognize?
Okay. Senator, as a scientist, I am compelled to answer the scientific question.
You're not answering
and
any question.
Happy to answer.
Oh my God!
Any specific scientific question that you have related to vaccines and COVID-19?
Scientifically, do the vaccines work against preventing COVID-19?
Third time.
Yes or no?
Third time. Okay.
Recognized.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Senator. So, you know, yes or no questions are not that that easy to find.
Oh my God!
So
she just asked you one. Answer
I think
it.
I have better clarity about your question at this point. So what I would say is that the most commonly used vaccines in the United States, which would be the Pfizer product and the product that was developed by Moderna, have been shown to have relatively high effectiveness for the prevention of hospitalization.
Okay. Well, he started answering the question, but you heard it was like pulling teeth. Let me play for you another clip, because Senator Book asked Dr. Latipo about the day that he was going through the Florida Senate to meet the senators after moron death sentence named him the new Surgeon General. And he came upon the office of Senator Tina Pawlowski. Tina Pawlowski had recently been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she was undergoing chemotherapy. And when he showed up at her office, he was not wearing a mask. So her staffers politely asked him to put on a mask, and he refused. He refused, and he hedged, and he hemmed, and he hawed, like you just heard him here. The man, it seems, cannot complete a complete sentence. He cannot put the five words together to string them into a complete sentence, and refused, and then made some remarks about her being, too picky or some nonsense. So Lauren Book asked her about that too, saying, will you apologize to Senator Pawlowski?
And I am asking you, do you regret the way that you treated our colleague? I understand goals, all of the words. I get it. It's a yes or a no.
Yes, or he doesn't know. He doesn't answer those.
She expressed her concern. She shared that she had a very serious medical condition.
She did.
You refused to wear a mask. I am asking, do you regret the way that you treated our colleague? Yes or no?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Senator. I completely
thank you, Senator.
Appreciate that you are.
You don't appreciate anything. Answer the
scenario
fucking question.
That you view as a yes or no scenario.
Oh my God!
And I will respond that I believe that it is very important to respect people's preferences. I will also add that,
I think that's
a mutual thing, and I think
you
that
didn't do
is
it.
That's an area that we've fallen short of during the pandemic.
Oh my God!
And I will also add that.
Oh my God!
I am highly respectful of people.
I'm highly respectful of people. No, you're not. A few other questions. I found some more video from this lovely sham of a hearing, like this one.
We're going to be working to unwind the sort of testing psychology that our federal leadership has managed to, unfortunately, get most of the country in over the last 2 years.
Okay, wait, hold on. So this wasn't at that hearing. Sorry, this was down here at Broward Health. He's standing in front of a podium with a sign that reads, "Early treatment saves lives." But in this bit of word salad, if you can cut through all the crap, he's explaining why they are going to cut back on testing. Why testing, he's saying, shouldn't be a thing.
Need to unwind this testing sort of planning and living one's life around
testing planning.
Without it, we're going to be sort of stuck in the same cycle. So, you know, it's really time for people to be living, to to make the decisions they want regarding vaccination.
Oh my God.
To enjoy the fact that many people have natural immunity.
No, many people don't have natural immunity, and the more people who don't get vaccinated, the less natural immunity there will be. And if you don't test people, well, then you have people like Sarah Palin running around infected, not knowing they're infected, and infecting everyone else. Now, this was great. I found this somewhere else, and the video's kind of blurry, but you can hear what's being said. And this gentleman who's about to play asks the question, why has Florida stopped reporting the COVID numbers on the dashboard? You see, the other day, I shared with you a clip, and it was, it was one of these vaccine deniers. I forget who it was. But saying, reading this thing and saying, well, Florida is Bill Maher. Duh. I have a blinders on. I've blacked him out. Bill Maher is like, so Florida was 17th on the list. And they're like, no masks, no vaccine, no nothing. And they were midway down the list. Well, it's because, and I told you this when I played the clip on Monday, because Florida fudges the numbers. Because you can't trust moron death sentence to be honest in reporting how many COVID infections, hospitalizations, and fatalities we have here because they stopped reporting them. And here, one of the senators is trying to ask this man why. And Joseph Latipo, again, can't give a straight answer. Whoops. Oh, hold on. I went too far. Oh, my God. Hold on one second. Here we go. Let's start it over.
Reporting on our dashboard, the Department of Health. Why have we stopped reporting COVID numbers
Good
on
question,
the dashboard?
Right?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Senator. Our approach to reporting has been to
it's
report
a lie.
In a manner and at a frequency and at a level of detail that informs public health.
What?
Informs the public.
What?
But and also allows us to
the dashboard, Dr. Latipo, the dashboard.
The
Why
dashboard.
Have we stopped posting the dashboard on the Department of Health?
It would be funny if it wasn't so sad.
Again, so my answer to that is
oh
that
my God.
The goal of our reporting has been to inform the public, but also to obtain enough data so that we can follow through with our missions in the Department of Health. And that's informed our strategy.
Oh, my God.
I don't have any more questions, Jim.
Yeah, really? He didn't answer that one. You should have made him answer the question. I would have stayed there, just like Lauren Book did, and asked again and again and again and again until he gives an answer. He never gave an answer. But the fact he didn't deny that they've stopped reporting accurate numbers on the dashboard. So this is going on. And you wonder why I have no faith in Florida? I'm rendered speechless. And you know me, I usually have a response to everything. But you know what? It's not only here in Florida. It really isn't. Let me share with you, I was going to go into, and I still may, more Florida stuff. But I can't let Ron Johnson get away without calling him out. So Ron Johnson, the man inexplicably elected by Wisconsinites to replace Russ Feingold, who was one of the best senators we ever had. And this man is still there and he is running again. So think about what the government is charged with in the Constitution. I'm looking for one of my copies here, and I've got one somewhere, but you know what? I can't find it. So off the top of my head, I know that it is to, you know, advance life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness of the American people. That's one thing, right? So what does Ron Johnson feel about the responsibility of our government to help, kids, maybe? Like, keep kids out of hunger, out of poverty? He doesn't think that's his job, man.
To have families and become parents, that's something, you know, they need to consider when they make that choice. I've never really felt it was society's responsibility to take care of other people's children.
Wow. He never felt that it was society's responsibility to take care of other people's children. Ron Johnson, those other people are your constituents in the state of Wisconsin. Are you saying it's not your responsibility to see to their general welfare and well-being? You see, this is the problem. We have people, you know, channeling, who was it? It's not my job, man. I'm dating myself here. Freddie Prinze, going back way back. It is your job. And we all have to be concerned about children going to bed hungry in this, the wealthiest nation on the planet. I know it's just about time for Howie, but I got to share this with you before I bring Howie Klein in. It's an editorial from today. Is this today or yesterday? This is yesterday's Miami Herald, written by Fabiola Santiago. She's one of the op-ed writers of the Miami Herald. And the headline is, Florida Don't Say Gay Bill Banning School Discussion of Sexual Identity is Pure Evil. This stuff is every day. And again, it's not just here in Florida, but this shit is happening all over the country. There is a bill now working its way through the Florida legislature, among others that are equally batshit crazy. This one is Don't Say Gay. Let me read a little bit of this to you. It says, why do Floridians have to pay the steep price for the insecurities of white, straight males of the extreme right Republican persuasion? Because they're running the state. Their latest assault on individual rights targets gay and transgender children in our schools with a bill dubbed Don't Say Gay. In other words, get back in the closet, kids. Suffer in silence, kids. See your suicide rates go up, kids. Endure guilt, shame, and bullying just to please a so-called pro-life sector of the population that only cares for children when a sperm cell penetrates, when a sperm cell penetrates and fertilizes an egg, combining inside a woman's body to form a zygote. The bill is hurtful to human beings already in this world, children as well as grown-ups. Manny Orozco, digital director and aide to Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine Cava, tweeted on Tuesday, quote, for too long, the world told me to hide my sexual orientation. Because of stigma, I was scared to be who I knew I am. The Don't Say Gay bill is evil and will only injure a new generation of children. They don't need to be pushed back into the closet. They need our support. Indeed, evil is the perfect adjective to describe this attempt to return to the dark ages of sexuality. Under the guise of the name Parental Rights in Education, House Bill 1557 seeks to silence gay children, their teachers, and education advocates by banning the discussion of sexuality and gender identification topics in Florida schools. This is the shit they're doing right now. Right now, legislative session is in session in Tallahassee. This was introduced by Representative Joe Harding, a Republican from the small town of Williston in Levy County. God, I've never even heard of it. Town of 3,000 people. The bill has passed in the Republican-led House Education and Employment Committee, largely along party lines, and as of this writing, was in the Judiciary Committee. The Senate companion bill is sponsored by another rural Central Florida Republican, Senator Dennis Baxley, and would ban teachers from talking about LGBTQ topics that are not, quote, age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students. The attempt to squash gay students' rights is discrimination camouflaged as, quote, parental rights. And the level of appropriateness, of course, is measured by whom? Legislators who live absent from the modern internet-connected world and dive under a rock of conservatism for political expedience. To cater, for sure, in a midterm election year to a voter group as devoid of critical thought as these legislators are. And it goes on like that. It is astounding, the massive leaps backwards. You know, I would talk for a while about, you know, one step up and two steps back. This isn't even that. This is giant leaps backwards. They want to re-enter Jim Crow and keep your sexuality hidden and not let you talk about anything that even suspected of the truth. Because they want their lies. It is, there are no words anymore. There really are no words. And I let myself get, well, it's not I let myself, I get really depressed by this stuff. You know, not only this, but everything else that's going on. The level of hypocrisy and denial of reality and just rude, sickening behavior is almost too much to handle. And I honestly don't know how we fix it. So maybe we'll ask Howie Klein. Whose turn is it to mix up those dirty Debbies? Because I could use a double today.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
I messed up because I brought up the intro on the same pot that I bring Howie up on, and he wouldn't have been able to hear it if I called him earlier. Hey, Howie Klein, how you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Oh, you know, I'm kind of over it today. I'm really pissed off. I'm so sick of the ugliness and the nastiness and the attitudes of mostly Republicans, but not only Republicans. I'm just society is just so uncivilized lately. You know, Sarah Palin's a perfect example of it. She tests positive for COVID. So what does she do? She goes back to the same restaurant without a mask.
Two restaurants in a row.
Right. Two nights in a row. Why wasn't she arrested? Isn't that a law in New York?
No, the law, it's not her that would be arrested. Yeah. It's the, there's no arrest involved. But in New York, the law is that the
restaurant.
The restaurants who didn't check for her status, they would be fined.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, they should have fined her. Instead, I see her walking around.
They would find the restaurant. They don't find the person.
Well, then find the restaurant and give out their name so that everyone knows not to go there.
Yeah, well, I actually tweeted this morning that people should not go. I put both the restaurants' names up, and there have been tons of retweets.
Good. I'm not in New York, so there's no chance I'm going to, you know, go to any of those restaurants anytime soon. But my God, reprehensible. She's just reprehensible. And then this whole thing with Neil Young.
You're not just learning about Sarah Palin being reprehensible today.
No. We've known that for a long time. But she was sort of out of sight, out of mind. And now she's back and infecting New York City? Come on, man.
Yep.
Yeah. And then I got to ask you, so Neil Young, I've always loved Neil Young. That's one artist that... I met him once, very briefly. It was a show at the Wiltern Theater. I got to like shake his hand and was speechless. And you know, he went on to the next person. It's the only time I ever met him. Never interviewed him. Would love to. I've been a massive fan since I was in high school. Since after the Gold Rush came out, which was, you know, in my dark high school years, that was one of my all-time favorite albums. So,
not Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
I liked Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young as well, but I love Neil Young. Always been a Neil Young fan.
Yeah, well, me too. And you can imagine what a shock it was for me when I suddenly became the president of Reprise and he's on the label.
He's on the label. How was Neil to work with?
He was just a dream to work with, an absolute dream. I loved Neil. He would, you know, invite me up to his ranch to hear the stuff as he was finishing recording. We would drive around sometimes in one of his cars around the ranch, which is like as big as the state of Delaware, and listen to it. It's always, in fact, one, you know, I stopped using drugs like in like 1969. So I don't use drugs, but I remember this one time I was up there with him listening to back to one. I don't remember which album it was. And we were in his studio. It was a very cramped, small studio. Everyone was getting high. I figured, all right, just to not be a bummer, I would take a toke.
Uh-huh.
But I forgot how strong the stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I was a kid, it wasn't as strong as it is now. So I took one toke. I got so stoned. I was, like, unbelievably stoned. And at one point, I looked out the window, and right up against the window, the nose of a buffalo was staring at me.
Oh,
so I'm listening to this music, and there's, like, a buffalo looking right in at me.
Oh, that's a memory.
Anyway, like, I can remember... every time I got a chance to interact with Neil, it was always an absolute pleasure. A real gentleman, and not like a prima donna in any way, although he could have been, but he mm-hmm. never was. Always a joy to work with,
and very principled. And that's what made him say, I don't think, and I could be wrong, but for the way I've read this story, he didn't issue the ultimatum to Spotify. He told his manager and the label, they can't have both of us. They can't have Neil Young and Joe Rogan. If Spotify wants, to keep Joe Rogan, then I'm pulling all my music off their platform. Somebody posted that letter to his manager on the label on his website. Then it came down. But I don't know if he meant that to go public or not. But now Spotify has pulled all of Neil Young's music, which I say good riddance. And I've removed Spotify from my computer.
You're not the only one.
I know.
In fact, someone at a competing platform today called me asking me to write a story about it. And I kept saying, I already tweeted about it. I put a thing on my Facebook page. No, can't you put a story on Down With Tyranny? And they kept bothering me. And I think, what the hell? And they said they're getting like a massive movement of people leaving Spotify and coming to their platform.
Really? Can you tell me which platform it is?
It's like a fruit.
Like a fruit. Oh, okay. Like a fruit. Gotcha. So we know. And that's the one that I don't use because I don't use their products. I'm not a fan. I'm not. Story for another day. But this reminds me, you posted something a few days ago that I happened to see on Facebook before I saw it on Down With Tyranny. And the reason I noticed it on Facebook is because a lot of our old colleagues from both of our music days in L.A., were commenting on it. And it was a really insightful story. The headline was, Music Biz Has Deteriorated, Not Because of Musicians, But Because of Extreme Capitalism. And
right. And I'll tell you something else that you probably don't know. It's the single most viewed post I've ever written. I mean, I sit here writing 6 posts a day for year after year after year
mm-hmm.
about politics. And here I do this like one thing that really, came out really easy. It was nothing really for me, it was a lot, very easy thing. And it has, it's wound up with tens of thousands of views.
Wow. Wow. Well, and I'm one of them. And it's a great article. And you drew from a article that was published in The Atlantic. And the headline there was, Is Old Music Killing New Music? And it's interesting. Look, my tastes, most of the music on my iPod, seriously, is, well, it's from throughout the years, but there's a big concentration of those years, the 90s, when I was doing music radio in Los Angeles and played some great music that did not get widely heard because we were an eclectic station. But I go back to that stuff and I realize, mostly when I watch Saturday Night Live, that I don't know a lot of the new music because I'm just not in the loop anymore. And there, you made a lot of great points, as did Ted Goya, who wrote the original article in The Atlantic, which is there's so much of it now that it's really hard to cut through. Do you think that's what it is, or is it the quality?
Well, that's partially the case. But, look, when I was growing up, And listening to music in the 60s, for example,
mm-hmm.
or even when I was a really young kid in the 50s, there was very little music. I mean, you could hear everything. I mean, there was no chance that I wasn't going to take an acid trip every time the Beatles put out a new album or every time the Rolling Stones put out a new album. And it wasn't like there were that many groups. I mean, when I tell people that I hired every group in the country, in the world, to play at my school, except I didn't get the Beatles, I didn't get the Stones, and I didn't get Dylan. But other than that, I had everybody. And people look at me like I'm crazy. How is that possible? But, you know, in those days, you could. It was the same thing on TV. Everybody watched the same TV shows because there just weren't a lot of them.
That's right.
The culture has changed so much. Everything is so much faster, and there's so much more of everything. Is there anyone today that's like the Beatles that has that,
no.
you know, capture of the entire culture? Of course there's not.
No.
So there's a lot more choices today, but that's a good thing. I mean, I don't want to blame that for anything because it's really good. Now, do I keep up with all the music? No. But when anyone, I'll regret saying this, but when anybody sends me, I won't regret it. I'll love it. When anybody sends me their music, I listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
At least to a couple of songs.
Cool.
And then if I like it, I listen to all of it. And if I really like it, I listen to it over and over and over again. And if I just love it, I write about it. But, yes, I'm in the same boat as you. I've moved on in my life to a place where I'm not listening to every new thing. I'm not looking for bands to sign.
Right.
I don't do that anymore. You know, when I was doing that, I had to listen to everything that I could get my hands on. But I don't do that now. And you know, I'm interested in what new music is. And when people send it to me, I listen to it. But when I really want it, when I think about like having some joy, you know, maybe I'll go to an old Dylan song or, you know, there's a TV show I'm watching now called Britannica. Have you seen that?
No. Where is it?
It's a Roman occupation of Britain.
Okay.
And it's really good. And they use current music.
Huh.
Not current of those days.
Right.
They use our current
right.
music. And the theme song is Season of the Witch, which I'm sure is a song that you've loved.
Of course.
Yes. So I'm watching it right now. You know, I'm watching it every night before I go to bed, and I'm just like getting so off on Donovan that I keep going back and listening over and over again. But it's the same thing with other you know, music. I'll get into a week of Pink Floyd where I just want to listen to Pink Floyd over and over again. And in fact, I'm right in the middle of putting together a contest for the Blue America candidates. And it's a long and convoluted thing. I don't have to explain it all right now or confuse everybody. It's still confusing me in figuring out how to tell people what it is. But part of the contest is I'm asking people to vote for these different artists. So in other words, everybody should vote for one artist. And then there are some prizes for the people who vote. But I'm not asking them to vote for the candidate. On where they stand on the Green New Deal or where they stand on Medicare for All, because they're all for Medicare for All.
Sure.
They're all for the Green
or
New
you
Deal.
Wouldn't Blue America asking, wouldn't have endorsed them. Right.
Right. What I'm asking everyone to vote for is the candidate based on their favorite artist. So I've gotten to ask each candidate who their favorite band is of all times.
Uh-huh.
And it's really fun. So it's put my head back into it. And there have been a few of my candidates. I mean, most of them are, you know, saying things like U2 or Prince. There have been a few that are a little bit outlier, like Iron Maiden. But they're all like really well-known artists.
Right.
But there were a few who have come up with things that I've never heard of.
Really? Wow.
Literally, I've been in the music business my whole life. And they literally have brought up bands that I don't know. So I had to go and listen to them too, which was a fun thing.
Interesting.
You know, when I write, I very often refer to music. For example, I'll let you guess what I did. So I did a story today on a candidate, not a good candidate, running on Long Island named Robert Zimmerman.
Okay.
How do you think I started the post?
Bob Dylan. Robert Zimmerman. Bob Dylan is Robert Zimmerman. Right. Of course, because I'm the same way. I always find the musical references because that music is my first love. That's where my mind goes. I think musically. I hear lyrics all the time.
Sure. Well, I'm the same way. Yep. And even though it was just a throwaway line, you know, in other words, it was not a post about Bob Dylan
right.
in any way, shape, or form. It was just a way of introducing this guy whose name is Robert Zimmerman.
Sure.
But you know what? It took me an hour because I wanted to highlight
to
a Bob Dylan song. So I wound up listening to an hour's worth of Bob Dylan songs to figure out which one I wanted to use as a YouTube. And then I couldn't narrow it down. So to just one.
Right.
So I got it down to three. Then I kept going back and forth and listening again and again and again, and I finally settled on two.
Okay. You sound just like me. I will do the same thing because the song, it matters. It matters. But then, so when I watch, Saturday Night Live, which we watch it for Weekend Update and rarely find anything else funny in it, but I always want to check out and see who the musical act is. And occasionally I'm surprised and there's somebody good. But then I see like DaBaby. I only remember DaBaby, one, because the name was so stupid, and two, the act was so horrible, and three, he had the twerking dancers, and not only did they twerk, but they twerked upside down. That to me is not music, and I know I sound like that old. I sound like an old Karen, right? But
you do, you do.
But I am.
It was because back in our day, it was the same thing. There was crappy pop music that we would never have listened to back then, and right?
Yep.
Yep. But at the same time, there's really, really good music that's happening now, but it's not going to get on Saturday Night Live.
Well, occasionally. I mean, I heard something of Bleachers the week before, and they were pretty good. I'm like, I'd never heard of these people, and their sound was different, and I thought they were really good. I haven't checked them out more yet, but they're on my list to check out. So, occasionally I'm pleasantly surprised, but more often than not, it's like DaBaby. It's not from, and I think, okay, I'm not the target audience. I'm out of the demo.
Right, so, but chances are DaBaby is selling a lot more records than the Bleachers.
I'm sure. I have no, well, DaBaby, then I heard something about him and he was huge, but then he made some homophobic comments and all of a sudden he was like out of favor. Like, things happen so quickly now, too. It's like everything is so fragmented. There's too many places to get your music from and information, too. It's not only unique to the music industry. And that's part of, I think, why we're so divided as a people, because we're all getting our information from different places, right?
Right, because there was a time, it's not all bad. I mean, sometimes the result is pretty bad. But it's not necessarily bad. It used to be that the mainstream media or lamestream media would control everything.
Yeah.
And what came from them. Well, now it's not that way anymore. So now there's a lot of sources of information. Unfortunately, Facebook has turned out, to be just a nightmare when it comes to that. I mean, is your aunt's neighbor a reliable source, or is the medical the medical community a reliable source?
I hear
and CNN or the New York Times, are they more of a reliable source than someone who doesn't identify themselves as a Nazi?
Yeah, well,
but they have a point of view as well,
right? Yeah,
and unfortunately, a lot of us are not able to do the kind of critical thinking that's necessary to distinguish between, what should be listened to and paid attention to seriously and what's just, a bunch of bullshit.
Got it. I got to tell you, in the YouTube chat room is Jackie, who works with you over at Blue America, and she just posted in there, Bleachers is an American indie pop act from New Jersey and the official stage name of songwriter and record producer Jack Antonoff. Well, Jack Antonoff was one of the members of the band Fun. He was the most creative of all of them. I actually met them at an event some years ago. And he and I talked politics the whole time, and that's his band. It figures, because I liked it, right? So it figures. It's Jack Antonoff. I'll have to check it out now.
Now I am shocked that Jackie knew that.
Yeah, well, I think she looked it up. Jackie, did you look it up? I think she looked it up. Anyway, so it's nice to have people explain that. Hey, I wanted to, there was one other post that you have up at downwithtyranny.com that I had to ask you about and must in the 5 minutes or so we have left, because the headline reads, In Defense of Chuck Schumer.
Yeah, and in fact, speaking about music, one of those links takes us to the theme song of your show.
Well, it takes us to the opening of this segment, which is not really a song. It's more of a bit. It's an open. It's the, you know, the Chucky Schmucky intro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, in reality, should I have put that in? No, that didn't belong in the piece. That's not what the piece is about. The piece was about something else, which defending really, I mean, what I was really defending was Bernie.
Right.
But it was Chuck Schumer, you know, sort of doing a little bit of a Bernie routine.
Right. So what you were defending was something that some people, mostly the conservative Dems, are criticizing Schumer for, which was bringing that vote, the filibuster thing, to the floor, knowing it was going to fail.
And making the conservative Democrats, or at least two of them, walk the plank.
That's right. Make them say it.
I'm writing about that right now. That's what I was doing when you called just now, and what I'll have to continue doing, because I'm working on a post for later tonight that talks about that, about, you know, make them vote, make the conservatives, all the Republicans and whatever Democrats, make them vote on every single thing. Make them vote on the minimum wage. Make them vote on every piece of Build Back Better. And if they don't, if those things don't pass, okay, they don't pass. That's how it goes. But the voters, at least, are going to know who made it fail, who is responsible for these things that are wildly popular. You know, one of the most popular things, you do know, one of the most popular things in this whole country right now is lowering the cost of prescription drugs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Republicans say that it's the Democrats' fault. They literally do. And everyone, you know, bullshits about it. Well, let everybody go on the record. Let everybody vote for it in a very simple, easy way to understand, that's not part of a giant bill. Just, you know, allow Medicare to negotiate the price of drugs.
Yeah,
period.
Period.
That's the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And let them all vote. And then let their voters then vote on them.
Yes. Well, you know what? And if they're going to break up Build Back Better, the thing is, the reason it was all grouped together in that giant piece of legislation is because that was supposed to go through reconciliation. So they only needed 51 votes to pass.
Yep.
Without Schumer, without Manchinema, though, it wasn't going to happen. But that's why they didn't break it up and do it piecemeal, because each one individually is not going to be able to use reconciliation. So they'd need 60, which they're not going to get. But if they're not going to get it regardless, then bring them up and make all those people, make all those Republicans say, no, I do not want to lower the cost of prescription drugs. I do not want to, you know, extend the child tax credit. I don't want to do all these things that are in that bill. Make them go, get them on the record saying no.
Yes, all the Republicans and whatever Democrats want to vote with them.
That's right. And that's a good use of their time, because remember, we're in an election year now, and every one of those no votes is another potential ad.
Exactly. And yep. that's what I meant by saying in defense of Chuck Schumer.
Of course. I gotcha. Well, it makes sense, but I had to hear you say it. By the way, someone in the chat room just mentioned, and I saw this morning, MSNBC has announced that Stephanie Ruhle is going to take over the 11 o'clock slot vacated by Brian Williams, and they're going to extend Morning Jerk for another hour in the morning. Really, they should have given it to Ali Velshi or Mehdi Hasan. They've got two really, really good people on staff, and they put Stephanie Ruhle in there. Oh, well.
Well, you know, I mean, I don't think of her as being terrible.
She's not terrible.
I just think of her as being nothing.
Right.
Just nothing.
Exactly.
Whereas Mehdi Hasan
is,
I mean, one of
amazing.
The great journalists of our time.
He really
and
is.
They have an opportunity to put him on where people can actually see him, and then they pass on that for just someone who's just
for
there.
Just someone who's there. Exactly. You know what I'm thinking? Maybe that Rachel Maddow is supposedly, you know, stepping back from her daily thing coming up. Maybe they'll give it to him. But he might be a bit too progressive for Rachel, and I'm sure she will have say in who gets her slot.
Yeah, probably more than say. She'll probably be able to decide.
I'm sure.
Or maybe they'll, you know, since it's a better slot, maybe they'll give it to Chris Hayes, who's still really good.
Yeah, but he's built his audience. I can't imagine he'd want to move, because then there's two slots that they're going to have to mess with. I like Chris Hayes, too. He's one of the few I do like. But, you know, more and more, they gave, they gave a show in the middle of the day to Jose Diaz-Balart. It's, you know, they're continuing. I just can't anymore. But then again, I'm pissed off about everything today. I'm back to being cynical, Nicole. Cynical Sandler. because I am.
I was going to ask you about that. I saw you tweeted CY.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize what it was, but now I understand.
Cynical. That's my name. Right. Because I'm just cynical about everything. With everything that's going on, that my inner cynic, it's like, the dark passenger. I don't know if you watch Dexter, but it's my inner cynic. It is in control right now.
So. Got it. And no, I didn't watch Dexter, but John Amato never stops talking about it.
Well, the reboot sucked. The original Dexter was great. If you were a fan of the original Dexter, don't watch the season they just put out. It was totally just not worthy of your time. Anyway, there's my dark passenger again. All right, Howie Klein, we are out of time. Thank you. By the way, we're going to be talking about you tomorrow, because tomorrow I will be speaking with Bill Kopp about the book, Disturbing the Peace, about 415 Records.
Good. Well, think about me when you play some of my music. You know it.
I can, but I get booted. I get copyright violated by YouTube when I play music. It's that dilemma. It's a problem of the 21st century. YouTube, even when they have a system set up, it's called Content ID, which is separate from the copyright violations, but they will give people, entities, the authority to go back through my 10 years or more of videos that are posted from shows that I've done over the years, and have some kind of like a bot comb through the shows and pull a music clip and say, that's a violation. I own the copyright. And they can mute and darken the video, make it unavailable. They can give me a copyright violation, or they can just attach to take any earnings that program may have gotten from advertising and take it and never tell me what the offending clip was.
Well, I used to make my own videos for music that I owned.
Uh-huh.
So music that I controlled, owned. And I made hundreds of videos for it. And YouTube just destroyed them all. So I can't even get them anymore.
Oh,
and they're gone.
God.
And they never told me what the problem was. And I fought with them for, 6 months about it. Mm-hmm. Never got anywhere. And it never seemed to matter to them that it was my music.
No, they don't care. You know, I've had artists on. Like, well, I did a thing during the height of the pandemic. I'd have artists on, who were doing Zoom sessions from their home or Facebook Live sessions or whatever. And Dan Navarro, I don't know if you know Dan, but Loan and Navarro, good friend of mine, old friend of mine. And he was telling me he's playing his own music on his show and they'd copyright violate him. It's insane. There is no avenue to fight it. They'll just tag something, a clip, a parody song I play, and some publisher or some entity will claim it that they own it, so they get all the revenue that video generates. Not that I generate much revenue, but still, it adds up, nickels and dimes here and there. And you have no recourse. There's nothing you can do about it. Eventually, someday, this, I would think, would be fixed. But not today. So, I've been suspended from YouTube for 90 days from streaming twice because of things like this. So I'm very careful about what music I play. I still will play music occasionally, but I have to make sure it's certainly nothing from Don Henley, because that'll get me suspended.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yep. Nice guy. Nice guy. Anyway. All right. Howie Klein, we will look for your post. When is this contest with the music going to be up?
Theoretically, next weekend. I still have to write it in a way that people are going to understand it.
Okay. So we can talk about it next week.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And we'll be talking about you tomorrow. So if your ears ring, that's why.
I'll try to listen.
Okay. All right, Howie. I'll talk to you next week, and maybe you'll hear us tomorrow.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, Howie Klein. Bye-bye. Again, as always, find Howie at downwithtyranny.com. And while you're there, you can get to the Blue America PAC page. And he's got a, growing list of candidates, mostly for congressional seats, but some Senate seats and some local offices, too, because those are more and more important these days. The Blue America PAC, you can get there by downwithtyranny.com/blue-America-PAC. or use the link at downwithtyranny.com. But he's got a list of candidates there that you can donate to. Again, Blue America doesn't take a cut of the donations you make like most of these groups do. They don't. They just facilitate. The money goes right to the candidate. All right. With that, I will leave you with the news, and I'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll be in a better mood. Well, I will, because it's Friday. All right. We'll have fun tomorrow. I promise. I hope. All right. See you then. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Despite the doom and gloom scenario being pushed by right-wing hate talk radio and propaganda TV channels calling themselves news, the economy is doing quite well, thank you very much. The Bureau of Economic Analysis Thursday morning reported that the economy grew 5.7% in 2021. That's the fastest full-year clip since 1984. This despite two new virus variants that emerged during the second year of this global pandemic. From October through December, the economy fared even better, growing 6.9%, up from 2.3% in the previous quarter. This economic growth created a record 6.4 million new jobs in 2021. But we're also seeing the highest inflation in 40 years, and we're still dealing with supply chain issues. Now, both of those problems are global and not unique to the U.S. or Joe Biden. Finally, on Wednesday afternoon, NBC broke the long-awaited news that Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer will retire at the end of the current term. At 83, Breyer is the oldest on the bench and one of just three liberals of this nine-member court. His decision to step down now while Democrats control the Senate gives President Biden the opportunity to name his replacement. Many of us have been urging Breyer to retire before the midterm elections, so Republicans will not be able to block a Biden nominee if they regain control of the Senate. You'll recall, despite similar urging, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg did not retire during then-President Barack Obama's term, clearing the way for the former guy to seat Justice Amy Coney Barrett when Ginsburg died in 2020, thereby expanding the conservative majority to 6-3. This opportunity also gives President Biden the chance to change the current negative narrative surrounding his administration and make good on a huge campaign promise to nominate a black woman as the next Supreme Court justice. Among the names being floated so far are the perceived frontrunner, Ketanji Brown Jackson, a U.S. Appeals Court judge in Washington, D.C., Leandra Kruger, a justice on California Supreme Court, Michelle Childs, a U.S. District Judge in South Carolina, Leslie Abrams Gardner, a U.S. District Judge in Georgia, and civil rights attorney Sherrilyn Ifill. A lot of great choices there. In other news, the Biden administration and NATO on Wednesday sent written confirmation to Russia that they will not make concessions on Moscow's main demands, that NATO reduce military deployments in Eastern Europe and deny Ukraine membership in the alliance, saying both demands are out of the question and always have been. But both Russian and Ukrainian negotiators have agreed to continue ceasefire talks as concerns that Russia will invade Ukraine continue to escalate. Here at home, don't lie for Donald Trump. It's not a good idea. Dozens of local and state Republican leaders who showed their loyalty to the former guy by casting fake electoral votes for him last year may now face prison time as investigators probe the origins of the scheme to send alternate ballots to Congress from states that were narrowly won by Biden. 59 of these fake Trump electors who claim to be duly elected and qualified could face federal and state charges. Could and should. In COVID news, Moderna says it has given the first booster shot specific to the Omicron variant to the first participant in their phase 2 clinical trial. According to the latest CDC data, Omicron currently accounts for 99.9% of all U.S. COVID-19 infections, while the Delta variant makes up the remaining 0.1%. Well, this is a step in the right direction. San Jose, California is now the first city in the nation to require gun owners to buy liability insurance. The San Jose City Council approved the measure in a lopsided Tuesday night vote over opposition from gun rights advocates and gun owners who said the ordinance would violate the Second Amendment. No, it wouldn't. Critics of the policy vowed to challenge it in court. Supporters on the council, some of whom said they had friends killed by gunfire, said the requirement would help address gun violence, which one member called a scourge on our society. The insurance requirement will encourage the city's 55,000 gun-owning households to use gun safes and trigger locks and take gun safety classes. And finally, a few quickies to end today's What's News. If you're in the Northeast, beware and stock up on supplies. There's a bomb cyclone headed for the Northeast this weekend, a particularly strong and rapidly developing storm. It's forecast to bring heavy snow with possible blizzard conditions, maybe even hurricane-strength winds, and potential coastal flooding on Saturday. Sarah Palin, who tested positive for the coronavirus on Monday, delaying the start of her defamation trial against the New York Times, was spotted dining out at the same restaurant in Manhattan on Wednesday night. There are no words. Stephanie Ruhle reportedly will replace Brian Williams in MSNBC's 11 p.m. hour. Spotify is removing Neil Young's music after an open letter was posted on his website telling Spotify they can either have Rogan or Young, not both. Neil Young calling out podcaster Joe Rogan as a notorious purveyor of anti-vaccine BS. Neil Young now calling the company a, quote, home of life-threatening COVID misinformation. Spotify can keep Rogan. I'll stick with Neil Young. And finally, Bangladesh! Bangladesh! Jeopardy champion Amy Schneider ended her 40-game winning streak on Wednesday after scoring almost $1.4 million in prize money. She blanked on Bangladesh. She's now the runner-up to the winningest Jeopardy champion of all time, Ken Jennings, who scored 74 consecutive wins. Way to go, Amy Schneider. And that's just a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.